Our scripture reading today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, carrying on with 38 and 42, is found on page 1319 to 1320 of the Pew Bible. Peter speaks to the crowd. Peter stood with the 11 apostles and spoke in a loud and clear voice to the crowd. Friends, and everyone else living in Jerusalem, listen carefully to what I have to say. You are wrong to think that these people are drunk. After all, it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. And Peter said, turn back to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven. Then you will be given the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children. It is for everyone our Lord God will choose, no matter where they live. Peter told them many things as well, and then he said, I beg you to save yourselves from what will happen to all these evil people. On that day, about 3,000 believed his message and were baptized. They spent their time learning from the apostles, and they were like family to each other. They also broke bread and prayed together.
Thanks, Paul. If you haven't met me before, my name is Amber Hammond. I've been a member of this church. I was confirmed in this church in the eighth grade, but I've been a member or been attending this church since I was 8 years old. So I've seen many things go through our church, probably not as many as some of you, but have seen lots of different changes, and am very happy and humbled to give back just a little bit to this church after everything that has been given to me. So I would like to thank Pastor Rick and Fort McCabe for asking me to speak today. Today is the beginning of the season of Pentecost, and if you haven't gotten a chance to look at all the decorations, especially on that entrance, that would be the west entrance, when you walk into McCabe, there's a great decoration of flames from everybody who has, and it's representing people who have volunteered in McCabe, try to help make it what it is and all the things that go into all of our programs. So I'll make sure you look at that decoration as well as all the other red decorations today. So we celebrate Pentecost by decorating our church, planting red flowers, and wearing red colors. I didn't have a whole lot of red. This was the best I could come up with today. This red is a visible reminder symbolizing the joy and fire of the Holy Spirit. And we are reminded of this each time we look at the symbol of the United Methodist Church. So like I said in the children's message, anytime we look at the symbol of the United Methodist Church, the Holy Spirit is a part of that. According to my daughter's children's Bible, which I find incredibly useful and have found myself using that Bible more than any others because the explanations are incorporated right in the verses. So it takes a lot of time and energy out of reading the Bible, but really, really like how those explanations are inserted. According to that Bible, Pentecost is a Jewish festival that fell 50 days after Passover and celebrated the wheat harvest. Later, Jews celebrated Pentecost as the time when they were given the Law of Moses. So Pentecost has been a celebration even before Jesus' time. Christians now celebrate Pentecost as the time when the Holy Spirit was given. In fact, Peter spoke to the crowd after the large event of tongues of flames, spoke a sermon explaining to these people what had happened. And Peter spoke and quoted the prophet Joel. And he said, this is what I will do in the last days. God says, I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will have dreams. And yes, even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will proclaim my message. Pentecost is also known as the birthday of the church. And I've taught Sunday school for many years, so when we teach Pentecost in Sunday schools, we often approach the throwing a birthday party for the church. We celebrate it with kids by having them make flames, you know, out of paper or felt or whatever, along with eating cake, because we are Methodists and we like to serve cake. And to be honest, when I was learning this, it was quite confusing for me as a kid. What did crowds and people talking in a bunch of different languages, sounding like they were drunk, with flames coming out of their head, that, for me, that did not constitute a birthday party. And maybe it's a little bit easier to look at what Christians were given as a big gift and look at that as the birthday party, as the gift. Pentecost symbolizes the time when Christians were given a name. We now are a group. We're called Christians. A purpose, which is spreading the love of Jesus' word and the gift of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this mission. I get a great deal of my information on a daily basis, good or bad, but I get a lot of my information from social media, whether it be Facebook or Twitter feeds. And if you don't know what that is, people can basically post stuff at all times, so there's never a lag of information. It's when it happens, it's out there. You go, if a concert's happening, you can go on your Facebook page, and there's pictures of the concert as it's going on. But so I asked my friends on my Facebook to post what the meaning of Pentecost was to them. And I got a couple of different answers. I got slowing down, peace, reflection. I had someone who obviously did not understand what Pentecost was, wrote, Pentecost, something that is five times as expensive as usual. I didn't respond to that one. But my favorite answer was power from the Holy Spirit. And like I said, that was my favorite answer. And actually, Jesus promised this in Luke. He says, from Luke 24, verse 49, and I will send myself, or I myself will send upon you what my Father has promised. But you must wait in the city until the power from above comes down upon you. While pondering what to speak of today on Pentecost, it may be a little bit different than what you've heard before. I'm focusing on these new Christians. At the end of the verse that Paul spoke about, 3,000 people were now converted. We have now 3,000 new Christians, and they've taken on this new religious identity. And the question now is, what are they called to do? They are sitting around with the apostles, learning from them, breaking bread, etc. But what are they called to do? And many of them were called to help spread the word. I've worked in human resources for about 13 years, and the majority of that 13 years has been in recruiting. And that's a pretty high burnout job, and I'm fortunate that that's not my primary responsibility now, but definitely still do a lot of that. When we attract employees to whatever organization I'm working for, whether it be by print media, social media, radio ads, word of mouth, whatever, I'm always looking for that wow factor. What is going to differentiate my organization from another one? I always want to answer the question of why should I apply with you versus someone else? And in our market, if anyone is in business, finding employees in Bismarck Manon right now is an incredible challenge. I've utilized many recruiting models, but I found one, it's an HR consultant named John Sykes, and I use his model more than any other when I'm putting together a recruiting plan. And it's four parts. The first part is to be absolutely clear in what you need. So what is this job that needs to be done, and what are the skills, knowledge, and abilities and behaviors that are needed for someone to get that job done? The second bullet point is to identify good sources of applicants. Advertise the best sources to get the best applicants. Number three, use the selection process to test out applicants against our requirements. And then number four, obtain testimonials and references whenever possible. And I can find some similarities with how I recruit employees to how Christians are recruited. The first step is to be clear in what you need. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. In this case, new Christians need the knowledge of what they are to witness to tell others what they know about Jesus. The second step is to identify good sources of applicants. God chose some pretty controversial people as his applicants. I think most often of Saul, who became Paul. Saul openly hunted down and persecuted Christians. I'm not sure I would have given the same choice as God, but he knows what he's doing. And on the day of Pentecost, both Jews and Gentiles, those Gentiles, and people from Crete and Arabia, all experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit and were converted. So each of us, and those we come in contact with, if they are willing, could be applicants of Christianity. The third step is to use the selection process to test out applicants against the requirements. So I ask, what's the requirements of Christianity? And when I teach, or when I've been a mentor for confirmation, teach Sunday school, etc., this is an answer I want ready. So I found a simple explanation from a website called peacewithgod.com. Very, very good website. I look at it quite a bit. They state, we can't earn salvation. We are saved by God's grace when we have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. All you have to do is believe you're a sinner, that Christ died for your sins, and ask for his forgiveness. Then turn from your sins. That's called repentance. Jesus Christ knows you and loves you. What matters to Him is the attitude of your heart and your honesty. So that's the requirement. A pretty tall order, however, a pretty inclusive club. And all can join. The fourth step in recruitment is to give testimonials and ask for references whenever possible. And this aspect of recruiting Christians is probably what's most exciting to me. Prior to the gift of the Holy Spirit, the foreboding of hell and damnation was the major selling point in following God. Turn from your sins and repent, or you'll go to hell. Follow the Ten Commandments, make sacrifices, or heaven is out of the question, you'll burn forever. Over and over again in the Old Testament, God's people turned away from God. This requirement was too difficult for them. So over and over again, God's people fail. But with the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are no longer alone. We absolutely get an immediate reward. This is kind of our shtick of Christianity. The answer to the WIFM principle. And in recruiting, the WIFM principle stands for what's in it for me. We always have to answer that question. What's in it for me? And there are so many stories in Christian publications where the Holy Spirit has come into someone's life and resulted in a changed heart. And perhaps this has happened to some of you, and now you're filled with the inner joy and peace. And even through difficult times, you are able to remain steadfast in God's grace and purpose for your life because you have that constant Holy Spirit encouraging you to do the right thing. I was touched last week by Chris's story. If you didn't get the opportunity to hear Chris speak last week, it was very moving for me personally. I'll give a little bit of a recap. He was a gentleman who, as a young person, was filled with drug addiction and had been through rehab 6 separate times and had failed the first 5. And it wasn't until he fell on his knees and was filled by the Holy Spirit that he was able to begin that long journey of healing both mind and body. And now he is using that gift to give back and share his story with others. That's the grace of the Holy Spirit, and that's what I'm reminded of today in Pentecost. I have a prayer I'd like to share with you. It's a simple prayer, and again, asks that question, or answers that question of why should I be a Christian, and what does it take to be a Christian? Would you please pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I trust and follow you as my Lord and my Savior. Guide my life with the Holy Spirit and help me to do your will. In your name, amen.